Hello.
Hi, Chris. We're good to go.
Great, perfect.
All right. So let's start with your year of graduation and include if that was spring, summer, fall, and your major or majors.
Sure. Okay. So I graduated in fall of 2014, and I majored in music business, and I minored in visual culture and new media studies.
Ooh, very nice. That was when minors were still pretty new at Berkeley, too. Cool. And what was your principal instrument?
My principal instrument was voice.
Nice. All right, so we will get to your history later. But for now, tell us about your current job. What do you do?
Sure.
Where do you do it?
So my current job, I am a social media and content strategist at a mobile video game company in San Francisco, California. So we make mobile games, and I'm basically responsible for handling the community of that. So all of our players who frequent the forums, who follow us on social media, who watch any of our live streams, all that kind of stuff sort of goes through me as the person to create and then, of course, publish that content.
Okay, actually, let's start. You said you work for a video game company. Do you mind sharing the name of the company and
Yeah,
what,
sure. So
and
it's
if they
called
make a famous game or two?
So we make mobile games. The company is called Pocket Gems, sort of like gems in your pocket. So we make a bunch of mobile games. The most prominent ones are probably War Dragons, which is the one that I work on. And then we also have a game called Episode that is also available.
Got it. And how big is the company? In terms of, let's say, how many employees about?
I think it's about 300, maybe 330, something around that.
Gotcha. Are they all based? You're in the Bay Area, is that correct?
Yes, yeah, I'm in the Bay Area.
So are they all sort of centralized in that one office, or you at a branch office, or?
Yes, we don't have a lot of remote employees. Most of us are here in the offices, so we work out of the financial district in San Francisco.
Gotcha. And you said you're a social media slash content strategist. So out of the 300 something employees there, how many other social media content strategists are there?
That's a good question. Honestly, I think the answer is two. And I am one of those two.
You're one of the two. Okay.
Yes. So the way that it works at Pocket Gems is that we sort of work by team. So it's not that there is a team of social media slash content strategists that we all strategize on all of the game products together. It's more like I single-handedly am responsible for one game, and another person single-handedly is responsible for a different game. So it's sort of like project-based by team.
Sure, that makes a lot of sense. So a lot of times in tech, yeah, there are teams that focus on a product. Although I can't help but think that there have to be more than two teams there.
Oh yeah, there are some other projects that we're working on. It's just that they haven't been published yet. So we
So they
have.
don't need the strategist for handling the forum for a game
Right.
that doesn't exist.
Exactly, yes. So that position will come in due time for sure. But of course, we don't need it right now while the game is still in development.
Sure. Are the two games comparable in size? Like, as you, I could imagine where the two roles would be very similar in terms of social media strategist. And I also could imagine where one of the games is a lot more popular and it was considered the more senior position.
Sure, yeah. So they're definitely the same in terms of the fact that as a content strategist, you must create content. So, of course, either by way of photos and different copy for social media posts, or of course, live streaming and that kind of content. But at the same time, as someone for me working on the game War Dragons and my counterpart working on the game Episode, we are developing completely different content because it's for completely different demographics of people and players. So Episode is a lot more focused on like the brand and the story because it's more like a choose your own adventure game. And War Dragons is much more strategic, high level, lots of like mathematical equations that go into it, that kind of thing,
Is it
like real-time strategy.
I'm not familiar with the game, based on the title, I'm kind of guessing this is a sort of fantasy warfare game,
Yes.
either real time or turn based.
Yes, that is exactly what it is. It's real time, it's build and battle. So, build up your base, defend it from oncoming invaders, but at the same time go and attack others.
Kind of like I'm dating myself here, Warcraft.
Yes. Yeah, very, very similar, yes. And, of course, on mobile.
God. And are players competing against each other, or is it like you versus the computer?
It is PvP for the most part. There's very few moments where it would end up being PvE. So yeah, most of it is PvP. You can have, of course, like you build up different teams and guilds, and then you consecutively and like collectively can work together. But for the most part, you are always battling other players.
Got it. And you could essentially be battling any random person anywhere around the world.
Yep. Yeah. So the game, of course, tries to matchmake you based on your player level, because we never want to have someone who's just wildly out of your league, just stomping all over you. Mm-hmm. But in a general sense, yes, basically you can find anyone and find their base and attempt to attack their base.
Understood. Actually, before we go more into this, don't go too deep into your history. This is kind of a yes-no question. But I'm asking this question in light of being not the only, but one of the relatively uncommon non-musicians who ended up working at Berklee.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, were you much of a video gamer before this position?
Yes, incredibly.
Okay.
I have been a gamer my life, my whole life.
Awesome. You would be surprised how many people answer no to a comparable question.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it worked for like a, you know, an all baseball thing. And he's like, I think I'd seen a game or two.
Yeah, maybe that one time.
Right. Cool. And so I get what War Dragons is and the app. If it's not private knowledge, like, I mean, like, how many people are on the app at a given moment battling it?
Sure. So I actually don't know the exact number for that one. It's got to be in, like, the hundreds of thousands, but I'm not entirely sure the exact number.
Order of magnitude, you just gave it. That's fine.
Yeah, yeah. And in terms of installs, of course, it's much higher than that, like into a couple million afterwards of that. But daily active players, yeah, I'd say probably somewhere around there.
Cool. So let's go a little further into what you do, because you said that you, like, there are some forums on the game now. Are you basically like the moderator? Are you creating content or both? And if...
Yeah, so I'm sort of one of everything. So, yes, I am a forums moderator. Of course, I am also the person who will deliver official information from the company. So by way of, you know, hey, there's this new dragon coming out, or hey, there's this new tower that you can build in your base. All of that sort of news and information goes through whatever channels I have essentially, like, set up. So that is inclusive of your classic social media channels like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, those kinds of ones. We also have the forums, which is, of course, just any sort of game forum, this one specific to War Dragons. And then also we try to show some of our content off on our live streams on things like Twitch and YouTube Gaming and Facebook Live and all that kind of stuff.
Gotcha. Oh, one other question I have about the product before getting more to you is, I'll phrase it, like, what's the revenue stream? In other words, like, how is the company getting revenue? I've seen models where the app is free, then people have to, you know, pay money to get options within the game, and others where it's a subscriber model or hybrid. Like, how does your company get revenue?
Honestly, it's a little bit of both of what you mentioned. So the game, specifically for War Dragons, the game itself is free to play. Like many mobile games out there, this follows like the same mobile formula for gaming. So it's free to play to start. And then, of course, if you would like to, for example, speed up the amount of time that you need to upgrade your base, then you can pay for that by way of either adding timers, adding different value packs. We also offer in-app purchases. So all of those kinds of things come into play. So it's essentially a way in which, you know, you can speed up, let's say your next tower takes 12 hours to build or something like that. You can, like, very quickly skip the upgrade of that and just go straight to the upgrade of the tower. And that is a way that we offer the ability to, like, pay in order to speed up that time.
Got it. So if they want to keep playing with the upgrade rather than put the app down.
Right. And of course, like, anybody can still make it to that kind of progression so long as they wait the time. Mm-hmm. It's more for people if they're interested in expediting that.
Sure, and if you're really into it, I imagine it's a pretty modest amount of money, so.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. Okay, so back to you. Yeah, so I heard you say you create content.
I do.
Like, what sort of content do you create? And
so sometimes I'll be creating things like just announcement assets. So, you know, just like hopping onto Photoshop, making sure that I've got my brand assets all together and being like, here's a new dragon. And then, of course, showing a photo of the dragon or something. And then that sort of relays into what we use on our social media channels in order to announce something new. Mm-hmm. And then likewise, you know, we'll usually link it to something where they can learn more or read more about it. So they'll go, for example, to our blog, and all of the blog posts there are drafted by me and then pushed out as like the official announcement for whatever new is coming to the game.
Got it. Hey, by the way, do you mean drafted just like written, or does somebody look over the work that you do?
Yeah. So I write the initial copy, and then I'll send it around to basically the product owners of whatever that thing is. So for example, if it's a new dragon, then it'll go to the designers of the game because they're the ones who create the balancing parameters for the dragons.
Sure.
If it's something related to like a weekly event, then I'll send it to our live ops team so that they can review it. So it just depends on what actual content it is.
Got it. So are you essentially writing the text, or what tools do you use in putting together these new contents?
So writing the text, you know, I use the good old Google Docs. That's the one that I use for just writing text. It's definitely the easiest way to send it out to other members and be like, hey, why don't you take a review of this? And they can, you know, make various comments on it and see if they have any suggested edits and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the assets themselves, it's typically Photoshop. We're lucky enough that we have a decent team on the creative marketing side that they also help me create some of the assets and videos that end up going out on our like public channels. So it's also sort of like a collaboration with them to try and execute the sort of vision that I'm looking for.
Got it. So you mentioned videos go out as well.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond just like a, you know, flat announcement that says, hey, new dragon.
Right. So the video part, I don't do a lot of the video work. Actually, our creative marketing team, we have some videographers there, and they are amazing. So we're very lucky that they're able to help us out with that. And then the other video content that we make is live streaming. So, you know, anytime that we finish up a live stream, it'll go to a link with the archived video. And then we can, of course, either export that video or just send it out as like, hey, we previewed this. For more information, check out this new video.
Got it. By the way, like, are you in any way the face of the game, or like, do people know who Chris Berkey or Chris or whoever, or are you just, is everything done in the company name?
Yeah, so yes, I am a face of it. People know me. I wouldn't say by name. I have, of course, my online name, so people know me by the name that I refer to myself as in the community, but they do know and understand that I am sort of the point contact for the game. So, you know, if they have any support issues or just want to like talk, they'll try and, you know, send me a private message on the forums, for example. But there's other folks, you know, especially from live streaming and just general, like being a public face in that appearance, a lot of folks will recognize me as a person that they can contact about the game.
Gotcha. It sounds like you mostly then would pass those messages on to the appropriate department.
Yeah, depending on what it is, for sure. So if it's different suggestions, you know, I'll pass it along to the team. Maybe write up of like a report based on something new that just came out in the game. So yeah, just depending on where it's coming from and who it's going to.
Like, do you ever have back and forth with customers?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, as someone who is responsible for the forums, I'm also an active participant of it. So I will be involved in a bunch of different threads that are on there, either discussing, of course, whatever the latest is coming up in the game, or maybe something else that isn't game related but is still being talked about within the community.
Gotcha. hey, did you see that Game of Thrones battle? I want a dragon that can do that.
Yeah, basically. We've gotten so many requests for Game of Thrones, and then I'm just like, hey guys, there's this thing called licensing.
Right. So, I'm sure it varies, but about how many hours a week do you work?
It's a standard 9-to-5 job, although in the games industry, we go 10-to-6. So, your classic, like, 40 hours a week. I'll probably add maybe, you know, 5 to 10 hours of that each week as needed, just depending on where, like, the state of the game is or if there's something big coming out the week following. But for the most part, it stays around 40.
Gotcha. When you said that you're the social media content and content strategist, is that your official title?
Yes, it is.
All right. And, hey, could you take us through, give hour by hour, what your typical day looks like?
Mm-hmm. Sure. So, probably I'd say in the morning, I come in and I try to do like a quick sweep of the forums. So that's just to, you know, see any new threads that have been created or maybe catch any hot topics in the community or even figure out if something's wrong with the game, you know, by way of like someone reporting a bug or something like that. After lunch, there's like a series of different meetings that could happen. So sometimes it would be strategizing new content that's coming to the game with a bunch of other like teammates. Definitely figuring out, like, I'm very close in contact with the live ops team and the design team. So the design team, of course, are creating new dragons so that we can promote that and push that out to the game. And the live ops team is making different like weekly events. And they also handle something called seasons. So seasons are truly based on the seasonal cycle. And their whole thing is that they offer exclusive dragons that you can only get within the first, you know, 3 months of that season. And then once the season is over, they're not able to be obtained anymore. So it's like a highly attractive way for people to like get involved with the game and always continue to come back to it within that season. If they, you know, want a new dragon or they're interested in something from the season, that we can offer them.
Got it. Got it. Let's see. How much of... Oh, I'm sorry. We were going sort of hour by hour. So that's basically your full day there?
Oh, right. So that's for the most part is all of it. I'll also partake in like different playtesting and things like that. But for the most part, it's a lot of like drafting content, reviewing that content with people who need to see it, and then when it needs to go live, monitoring the launch of that content.
Sure. I imagine that a lot of content of what you put out, the decision is sort of automatic, right? Like they're coming out with a new dragon, you're going to announce that in
yes,
a standard way.
Sure.
Like what is any or what fraction of the content you put out, like how much is it discretionary by you where you're like thinking, hey, this would be a cool thing to announce, or...
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is up to me in terms of what goes out on a public perspective, you know, social media channels and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's really like trying to figure out what the development roadmap is. And then whatever is coming up, I make the decision as to what is important for a blog post, what is important to be on the forums, what is important to sort of show off when live streaming, and just sort of like picking all that different content.
Got it. Got it. So, hey, to qualify for these interviews, one of the criteria you have to hit is that you enjoy what you do.
Yep.
So I'd love to hear, like, what is it about, you know, being the social media strategist and or, you know, doing something in the video game industry? What is it about all that that you enjoy?
Yeah. So being a gamer, I mean, I am so passionate just about seeing other gamers sort of have the best success that they can with a game and like really enjoy it and truly enjoy it. So for me, I really, you know, love being a part of the community in that regard because I get to help them like understand just how great their experience can be with it. Mm-hmm. And being a gamer myself, you know, knowing that that's almost like the most important part, that you naturally develop these relationships with people in the game. You'll naturally feel like you have a special memory with it or or something else. So all of that sort of like comes in as a satisfactory part of my job as well.
Gotcha. All right, that's great. Well, let's take it back now to 2014, although if you feel the story has a logical earlier starting point, we can go back further.
Sure.
I don't know. Are you thinking, like, I'm going to do social media in the video game industry as you're finishing up Berkeley? And,
I definitely have some planning on it.
Sure. So, yeah, like, put us in your headspace there as you're finishing up your music business degree. Then we'll take it one step at a time from what you're doing, you know, where you were at and what you were doing, all the way up to where you are now.
Yeah, sure. So I'd probably say it really started maybe a semester or two before I graduated.
Okay.
So while I was at Berkeley, I was the director of the video game music choir. And that was, you know, this choir, of course, in Berkeley that exclusively sang video game music, which was great.
I remember the video game music orchestra. Is this something different?
Yep. Cool. Yeah, so the video game music choir was its own thing. We performed with the orchestra quite a bit, but we also were like had our own performances.
Okay.
So I was a part of that and loved it, and it was like my favorite thing ever. And maybe like I think the semester before I graduated, a friend of mine, a fellow colleague, asked me, you know, if I would be interested in a position in a position at this place called Harmonix, which is in Boston.
We say and, colleague, like a fellow Berkeley student.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I've heard of Harmonix.
Yes, Harmonix with the X.
Yeah. So, is that a video game place?
It is. It is a music video game place.
Okay. Sort of like Guitar Hero?
That's exactly. They created Guitar Hero.
There we are.
Yep. They created Guitar Hero and Rock Band and Dance Central.
Cool. So that, so this person you met, you said, through the video game choir.
Yep. Oh, no. Sorry. Oh, sorry. I just met them as, like, a fellow colleague in school.
Got it.
So they happened to be working there outside of college. They had already graduated. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, hey, we're looking for a, like, temporary contract QA position. And I, like, had no idea what it was going to be about, but I decided to go for it anyway. And when I went there and I interviewed, I realized very quickly that I was not going to be, like, well cut out for the QA position.
Yeah, my wife does software QA. It's definitely its own skill, and there's the type of folks who are really, as you say, cut out for it, and other folks, not so much.
Yep, for sure. And, you know, I didn't know a thing about video game development at that point. So I didn't really know where I would have fit in well. Mm-hmm. So a little bit prior to that, just backing up a little bit, I had an internship with a very small video game developer. It was an indie developer. And they were a game that was successfully kickstarted, and they needed someone to basically help, like, manage the PR for the game and ship it around while they were finishing it up and getting ready to launch.
Uh-huh.
So I ended up working with the CEO of that company to, like, go on different various gaming conventions and sort of talk about the game to different players and also to press. So I was doing that.
Well, just curious, was that your official music business internship, or was that, like, a side thing you were doing?
No, actually, that was not my official internship. My official internship was actually with a music agency.
Okay.
And they were based out of, like, Worcester, I believe.
Got it.
Yeah, I ended up doing quite a few internships before actually graduating.
Good for you.
Yeah, I think, like, totaled out to maybe 3 or 4. So this one in particular was the one with the indie studio, and that really helped me just, like, put my name on the map of, like, I think I could actually do something in video games and, you know, sort of think about that as a career.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went to Harmonix, I definitely didn't get the QA position, but at the same time, they sort of saw on my resume that I had all these different credentials from the internship with that indie studio. And because of that, they sort of referred me internally to their publishing department. And underneath that was the community management position. So I ended up becoming an intern as a community manager and was there for like maybe 2 or 3 months while I was finishing out my final semester at school.
Got it. Just curious, was this a paid internship or an unpaid?
It was not. No, it was not a paid internship to start.
Okay, but valuable experience.
Absolutely, yeah. Because I got to physically be a part of this development studio and, you know, just see what they were working on at all times.
Now, curious, the position that you had interviewed for, had that been a paid position? Or was that another
intern? It was, yeah. So it was a contract position and it was temporary. They only needed basically extra hands for the final like couple months of the game going before it like officially went to cert and then was published.
Gotcha. So you ended up sort of doing this other thing more in line with what you wanted to do and be longer, even if it was unpaid.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So what is that still going on then as you finish Berkeley?
Yes. So when I was in my final semester, that was when I was interning at Harmonix.
Mm-hmm.
And then quite literally 2 weeks before I graduated in December of that year, I was offered a full-time position at Harmonix.
Wow, very cool.
Yeah. So I graduated.
Full-time and doing the same stuff?
Yes. So I was an associate community manager when I first started.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like not 2 weeks after I had graduated, starting in January, I was working at Harmonix.
That's fantastic. Oh, quick. By the way, can I ask, like, where are you from originally?
Oh, sure. I'm originally from New York. So I was born and raised right outside of the city. And then I, of course, came to Boston for Berkeley.
Sure. Okay, so, yeah. Some people are, like, from here, and then they really want to stay local or really want to be where their family is.
Right.
But it sounds like, in your case, you had a good job lined up.
Yes. Yeah, I just ended up staying because I had this great opportunity.
Cool. So, all right. Of course, if you were still there, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Yeah, that is true.
you'd count as working in music. So how long were you working there?
I was there for about 2.5 years. So I just wrapped up my engagement with them like early last year, around March or April.
March, April, 2017.
Yes. Yep, 2017.
I say that because this interview will be on the website for a long time.
Yes. March or April 2017.
Sure. And sort of like, how did that end and how did you make your next step?
Sure. So at the end of March, Harmonix unfortunately had layoffs and I was a part of those affected. So towards like the very end of it is basically when I finished off there.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, my partner and I were thinking about moving to San Francisco and just trying something different. They ended up getting a position at another video game studio here in the Bay Area. So that was the impetus for us to leave.
So they're like, hey, Chris, I got a job in Bay Area. Let's go.
Yeah, basically. So that we works. Were like, hey, why not?
By the way, had they been at Harmonix as well?
Yes. Yeah, they also worked at Harmonix for a little while.
Got it.
So that was like the reason to get out to the Bay Area. And when I got there, of course, I was continuing to apply to positions and all that kind of stuff. I had a friend of mine who works in the public relations department at Twitch, and their headquarters are based out of San Francisco.
I'm sorry, so, I go flaunt my ignorance here. Twitch?
Yes.
What's their product or what do they do?
Yeah, Twitch is a live streaming platform. So twitch.tv is like a major live streaming platform for specifically video games, but they also offer just other types of games.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so it's pretty great, actually. Anybody can sign up, anybody can start streaming, and you can also pay subscriptions to streamers to support them.
Got it.
Yeah.
So
I ended up actually getting a quick position at Twitch for a little while because they needed someone to help them do some event planning. They have their own convention called TwitchCon.
Okay.
And so TwitchCon 2017 needed some extra hands to be put together. So.
And you said this was a friend who referred you to them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It was a friend of mine.
Who worked there?
Yep.
Perfect.
But yeah, it worked out really well.
Great. As you said, it was a temporary position, but when you're not working, so that goes on for what, 2 or 3 months?
Yeah, so that was like right about 3 months, I'd say. So when I started working, of course, and it was basically, you know, just hit the ground running and start planning for this event, because it happened at the very end of October. Mm-hmm. And so we only had, you know, that many months to prepare for it. But it was a blast, and I really, really enjoyed it. I got to learn a lot about Twitch as a company, a lot about San Francisco as a place to work. And also sort of to be in video games, but not be directly a part of a game developer. It was really interesting too. So, sure. Yeah. So all of that sort of finished up at the end of October. And then while I was at Twitch, I was also interviewing at Pocket Gems. And so it sort of worked out again, timeliness, where I received an offer for Pocket Gems. And then, you know, within 2 weeks that my contract finished up at Twitch, I was able to move right along to the Pocket Gems position.
And that's, you moved straight into your current position.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, how did you get these interviews at Pocket Gems? Was this just sending out applications?
Yeah, or... so Pocket Gems, I actually didn't have a referral with. I was just lucky enough that I was applying and fit the credentials for, like, the candidate that they were looking for, and just ended up, like, moving through the interview process relatively quick. I'd probably say it took about 3 months total. So,
okay. Well, you were interning for 3 months, so that works.
Yeah. Yep.
And, sorry, not interning, but the contract job.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recall how you found the job listing at your current place? Was it like LinkedIn or Indeed, or did you just go onto their website? Or?
Sure. I think for the most part I was looking at LinkedIn, but I also had like just a couple of folks like pointing me in different positions and seeing, you know, if there were places that would be more attractive for me. Most of it was looking through LinkedIn. I think Pocket Gym specifically I had found because there were some folks being like, hey, we saw that this, you know, new community manager type position just opened up at this company, and you're like, you know, in terms of distance, relatively close to it. So they were like, you should apply. And I was like, yes, I should. So I just ended up applying.
Very cool. And when you got the job, because you say they have two products.
Yep.
So was this a case where like the person doing your product had just left, and was there somebody else who was already doing it? Or, you know, how did, you know, you had some fairly relevant experience, but certainly every game and every new job's a little different. Did you have a mentor type person?
Sure. Yeah, that's a great question. So when I was first hired on, I was actually brought on to be one of the like community managers for one of the games that has not come out yet. So originally it was like, you know, they were going to hire me, and then I was essentially going to help set up the community and all of our social channels and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
But when I got there, maybe like less than a month after I started working there, someone else who was in my position announced, you know, that they were going to be leaving. And so we were lucky enough, you know, that she gave us like plenty of a runway. And because she was working on being, you know, the community manager for a game that was already live, and I was working on the one that wasn't live quite yet, they needed someone to essentially take over her position because, you know, they couldn't leave no support for the live game.
Sure.
So it worked out that she was able to train me into her position so that she, when she eventually left, you know, I was able to take it over and move forward with it.
Got it. And here you are.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So let's move on to the third part of the interview of three. My next question for you, and there's no right or wrong answer, is these days, like, you know, mid-2018,
yep.
What, if anything, is your current relationship with music?
Sure. So my relationship with music has decreased, not to my happiness. there are basically a handful of one-off like performances that I'll be a part of whenever choirs are needed. So, for example, one of the last things that I did was I worked with something here in the Bay Area called the Awesome Orchestra. And they perform different variations of video game music, movie scores. It could be even other stuff, you know, based on like either, you know, game things, movie things, even songs, TV show songs. So like different, just basically everything in terms of entertainment.
Okay, so you sometimes say with them, is this like, can I ask, is this like you're a regular of a group that sings on rare occasion, or are you a rare occasion sub on a group that's performing a lot?
Yeah, more the latter. So it's they're an orchestra, so they're totally set up as an orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever they need choir, they'll like add me as a part of that performance.
Got it. Ed, can I ask, does it pay much or anything, or is it just for fun?
Yeah, so this one is for fun. So I don't get paid for it. It's more just something I love to do.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
It's not uncommon either. A lot of people keep doing it. Even it's, you know, you're making decent money doing your regular job.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. So, all right, my next question for you is, right, Berklee gives that one degree in the Bachelor of Music, and, you know, most social media content strategists out there are not music graduates.
Yep.
So let's say, is there any, let's assume you would have gone to college somewhere, but, you know, majored something, English, I don't know. Like, relative to other folks, is there anything you feel that your Berklee education experience did particularly well to prepare you for what you're doing now?
Ooh, that's a tough question. In a nutshell, it's hard to say, because a lot of, you know, the core curriculum of Berklee is very centered around musicianship. Mm-hmm. And that totally makes sense, of course, being a music college. When it comes to the music business major, I think some of that definitely helped, you know, it, around marketing, understanding a brand, and also, you know, understanding how to market yourself. In Berklee, of course, it's in the lens of being a musician, but in real life, that does definitely apply to, you know, just having an understanding of who you are, what your skills are, you know, what is good for you and like what your strengths are. And also be able to, like, articulately communicate that to potential employers.
Got it. That makes sense. Yeah, certainly as a musician, you're constantly looking for the next... Right? Musicians look for work far more than almost anybody else. Since
yeah, for sure.
Many times a job lasts 2 or 3 hours and you're done.
Yep.
All right, very cool. So let's turn that question around now. Because, right... Snowed, Berklee does give that one degree, the Bachelor's of Music.
Yep.
And you went to Berklee knowing that. But, you know, all that said, is there anything where when you look back at your Berklee education, you say, like, hey, it would have been really useful to have learned this while I was at Berklee, and they could have taught it to me, and they didn't? Anything missing or incomplete?
Well, I can only really think of it from the music business perspective.
Sure.
It doesn't seem like that, at least not now. You know, in the grand scheme of things, I'm not that far out of college. Mm-hmm. So it's hard for me to really, you know, turn around and reflect and sort of understand if there were things that could have been more or just like had been more communicative.
Well, hold on a sec. I'm doing a little math here, which is that I believe for every month that you've spent in college, there's been roughly another month that you've spent as a graduate.
Yeah, that is probably very true.
But anyway, please go on.
But yeah, I mean, I guess, well, I don't know. It kind of depends on the course, you know, as well. So maybe some courses were better at understanding what your brand is, and maybe some courses were, you know, better at understanding what you needed to do from a logistics perspective or, you know, in terms of contracts and things like that. Mm-hmm. You'll always say, you know, like there's a lot more in the real world that you end up learning that's outside of the classroom. So I guess in that sense, I really like the internship idea. But I can't really like think of any one thing that would have been better if I was, you know, being taught that versus just, you know, sort of learning it when I ended up in the real world outside of school.
Very fair. So next question I have for you is, oh, and I'm sorry, gonna back up ever so slightly.
Yeah.
Because your first jobs were in the music industry, but, you know, music video games, right? And then it seems like when you went to San Francisco, your jobs have been pure video games.
Yes.
And, like, was that kind of, what was your thought process as you were going from something which is still technically the music industry into something that wasn't? Was that like a conscious choice? Was that a hard thing to wrestle with, or did it just feel like the next logical step?
Sure. It was kind of both, honestly. It felt a little weird at first, you know, jostling to officially not be, you know, not making music a part of your full-time career.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a little weird. But when it came down to, like, what I was actually doing while I was working at Harmonix, to some degree it was musical just by way of, you know, testing different songs or helping those who were doing a musical position, you know, if they needed something reviewed or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, it never really affected the, like, community and social media work that I did there. So it was beneficial, you know, that I understood music and, of course, could play the games well. But at the end of the day, the skills that I could transfer over were mostly that of, you know, more of the marketing and community side of things that could be applicable to other games more so than they would be applicable to other areas of music.
Gotcha. So you felt like you were on this path and this was sort of something you could do, and it sounds like you've been enjoying it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I mean, the community management aspect of it, I am definitely an extrovert, so I really enjoy, you know, meeting people and talking to people and just learning about people. And I think that really helps in a community position because that means that you actively want to invest in the people who play your game. And that ends up being, you know, extremely important and valuable because those people who play the game know that they are valued. You know, they know that they are wanted, not just in a profit financial way, but in a way of you get something out of this game. There is a benefit to you being here. So I think a lot of that could transfer over a lot more than just like the fact that Harmonix also made rhythm games.
Gotcha. That makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, next question I have for you is, you got on your career path very quickly mm-hmm. after school, right? The Harmonix put you on this path, and then the path ultimately led you, as you said, to a non-music video game, but still doing 90% the same thing.
Yeah.
Let's say a lot of recent grads haven't yet found that path the way you did 2 weeks after you graduated.
Sure, yeah.
And let's say there's also people maybe in their last year at Berkeley staring out into the big scary world and going like, oh my God, what's going to happen next?
Oh yeah, I was there.
So, okay, so for either or both of those groups, or perhaps even to your younger self, what advice do you have?
Definitely try to, it's really hard, you know, because you're so fresh out of the gate. So it's really not reasonable for me to say, oh, just know what you're good at and you'll be fine, because that's not really how it's going to go. So I think a lot of it is like really just trusting yourself and understanding, you know, if there's something that feels good and you want to pursue it more, like go for it, because you have all of this time ahead of you to try things out and really understand if there's something you like and you don't like and what you want to move forward with. So, you know, try to get an understanding of who you are, maybe not what professional skills you may have, you know, already or not at all, but mostly, you know, what feels good, what do you want to continue pursuing? Or on the other hand, you know, what do you not like about what you're doing and what do you want to sort of steer away from as you go into the working world?
Right. It's worth remembering, right, that your first experience with a job was this miss on the QA position.
Right, exactly.
but you didn't say, "Ah, forget it, I'm never working for a gaming company again."
Yeah, exactly. And of course, you know, I speak to the way of game development, how there's so many different aspects of it. So you could be a designer, you can be an artist, you could be a sound engineer, you could be a QA lead, or you can be a marketer. And all of these things contribute to the same product. So, you know, if you're super passionate about video games like I am, there's probably somewhere within those bubbles that, like, could work for you, depending on, of course, what you want to do. And then maybe as you do it more, you learn if there's things that you're good at or things that you're not so good at and how to work towards bettering yourself.
Gotcha. That's great. Well, oh, a little technical question, because I try to put these jobs into categories. Could you reasonably describe your job as public relations?
Yeah, I think you could. I mean, it's definitely public communications, and I am working with the community, so it's most definitely public relations.
All right, very cool. And along those lines, then, your, I think, my 147th interview, plus or minus.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, plus or minus two. And you know, I think you're my second person who will be listed in public relations.
Wow, that's crazy.
So, did you know Jessica Prouty?
I did. Of course I know that name.
Yeah, she's the other.
Nice.
So, point being, I don't think anyone's listening to all 147.
Sure.
But, you know, so who's listening to this? The people who, you know, looked at the careers saw, oh, public relations. Hey, what's that about? Clicked on this. And frankly, the people who made it this far are maybe even thinking, yeah, like I'm in the gaming thing or the music thing, but, you know, it's a very, I get to be much more of a people person. I get to represent. I'm not having to go take programming classes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
But I still get to be part of this, like, very exciting, you know, large and growing industry.
Right.
So let's say, and we could either just say in general, a kind of social media community management PR job, or even specifically, you know, then the video game industry. For anyone who's thinking, like, yeah, this would be a cool thing to do, I would like to end up in a place like this. Mm-hmm. What specific advice do you have for them?
Ooh, sure. It definitely understand, you know, how you approach people. The conversations that you have and the relationships that you make are very crucial to the PR role. You know, by way of business relationships, of course, but also just generally befriending people and being an affable person. So really, like, evaluate how you communicate with people, and especially how you communicate with strangers, because that will definitely determine, you know, your sort of demeanor as you approach someone new. And, you know, maybe you're trying to get them to buy a product, or maybe you're just trying to get them to learn more about your product. But in some way, shape, or form, you want them to be engaged in what you're doing and, you know, what you're ultimately providing. So trying to figure out, you know, not in, like, a super slimy way, because I know a lot of people think about PR as a way of, like, always just forcing people to either buy something or whatever. But it really is about forging relationships. It's just so important to understand how you communicate with people, and again, how you communicate with strangers, as to, like, what ultimately determines if they feel more inclined to, you know, go off and do what you want them to ultimately do, or if they're like, oh, well, this wasn't, like, a good experience for me, because, you know, you really only get that one shot to have that experience with that person.
Sure, sure. Makes a lot of sense. Well, hey, Chris, it's been a pleasure chatting.
Yeah, likewise. I'm sorry, like, I've had to cough a bit throughout this whole interview. No. I, of course, came down with a sickness this morning.
Oh, don't worry about it. And if I end up using one of your clips in a presentation, I'll edit out any coughing and wheezing.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Oh, by the way, look for a message on me in LinkedIn in the very near future.
Sure. Yeah, no problem.
All right. Have a great evening and best of luck with everything.
Yeah, you too. And, of course, let me know if you need anything else.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Great. All right. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
to pack.